يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We want to continue where we left off earlier today with the khutbah of Al-Jumu'ah and the khutbah of Al-Nikah. And the khutbah of Al-Jumu'ah, we were being reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor upon us that He has united the Muslims. And we're trying to emphasize or to show that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor upon us, walhamdulillah. And that whatever is the result of that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor also. Because it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives the success to whoever He wills. And this is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And Allah, He gives His success to those who fear Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who fear them. And the khutbah of al-nikah, we were dealing in one way or the other with the responsibility of the Muslim man and being a man, and that everything is not necessarily the outward appearance, but it's the whole makeup of handling your business and the responsibilities. And we wanted to take a look at both of those things. As oftentimes, when the discussion of the unity of the Muslims and living together and working together, or learning together and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together, never do we look at the characteristics that are necessary, the necessary elements of making up that which will earn the success of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not understanding that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we find ourselves doing is being superficial and trying to create that which, if you gave all on earth, you couldn't achieve of uniting the people. We think, as we've mentioned many times in the past, we think that an incident or a meeting or a conference or a tragedy or whatever the case is going to unite us on the kitab and the sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore the Muslims will be successful. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He says, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ, and Allah united their hearts. وَلَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ, and if you would have given all that was in earth, on the earth, you could have not united them. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ, but it was Allah who united them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He united the Muslims. And oftentimes, as we're saying, that this is overlooked, that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from what Allah has decreed in His qadr. And the qadr, I didn't want to get too technical, I was trying to make things easier. And the qadr is of two types. Al-kawniyya wa shar'iyya. or the qadr that Allah decreed that things will be the way they are, and then there's the qadr that Allah had commanded that things should be a particular way. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that if it's raining and you go outside, the water gets on you, you'll get wet. From the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that things take place the way that they take place. That someone was born in a particular city and the other one was born in another country or whatever. This is from the decree of Allah, from the Qadr al-Kawniyya, that no one has any control over. Then there's the other decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where He commanded something to be done. Like Allah ta'ala, He says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. And your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him. This is what Allah has decreed. But everyone doesn't worship Allah. Everyone doesn't worship Allah. So in the first one, things are going to be a particular way as Allah allows things to be. And then on the other hand, Allah has commanded things to be a certain way. Okay, when we look at this issue of unity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the one hand, He commanded us to be united. And on the other hand too, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it that if certain things are done, that unity will take place. But you can't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandment and being united and then expect that the end result would be that you would be united. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He united the hearts of the believers, but He united them from His favor upon them because they believed in Him and they were obedient to Him. As Allah begins that ayah, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Hold on to the rope of Allah altogether and do not divide. That's the decree where Allah wants this to be done. And remember Allah's favor upon you when He united your hearts and thus you became brothers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commands one thing and then from His decree He will allow whatever He wants to be. So Allah commands things to be done, and if what's been commanded is being done, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decree and make things go in that favor. Oftentimes we think that we're going to achieve the favor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being disobedient to Him. By being disobedient to Him and not doing what He's decreed for us to do, we think that everything is going to turn out in the right way. For example, we have a lot of Muslims in this area. And we think that simply because we all happen to be in this area, that we're all going to unite on what's right. Just because we're in this area. Allah decreed, we live in East Orange, or in this vicinity of East Orange, by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We had choices to make and what have you, but Allah decreed that what will take place, He's decreed that. But He also commanded us to be obedient to Him. Just because we're all in this area, we're not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do we think that we're going to automatically be united because we all took our shahada or we all lived in this area? No. And this is why I was trying to relate it to the other point, because the issue becomes responsibility. Handling the responsibility or the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us. If we do that, then there's going to be results. Like in your marriage, if you do what will necessitate a good marriage, then your marriage will be good, inshallah, by Allah's permission. And likewise, as far as the affairs of the deen are concerned, if you want to earn the success of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in establishing His deen on this earth, then you have to do it by being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we have to be mindful of. In the khutbah, we were mentioning Allah's favor upon us, but it wasn't, as you don't get time to always explain, it wasn't simply that people from all over the world are just attending a masjid, because that doesn't mean anything. Just because people from everywhere are attending a masjid, it doesn't mean anything. And proof of it is, we have a lot of Muslims in this area, and we're not doing anything together collectively. So just because people are together doesn't mean they're together. It's a superficial type of being together, and then there's a real being together. The real being together is when you hold on to the rope of Allah all together and do not divide. The superficial type of being together is that we physically happen to be all in the same place. I'm hoping, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that we have come here not just that we have physically come to this place, Masjid wa Ahl Sunnah, but that it was the call to Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the way of our Salaf al-Salih, that we try to hold on to, that united us together. And if fulfilling or living up to our responsibilities and obligations of obeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following the way of our Salaf al-Salih, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the success. Oftentimes when you find that different races and nationalities and languages, when they come together to fight and to argue and to see who's the best based on his color or nationality or race or what have you. And we know that because we live in a society that's based on racism, and we're well aware of it in the job market and in the marketplace and everywhere we go. And we know that it's very difficult to get people of different races and nationalities and languages and countries and upbringings and what have you together to collectively work on something. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the success. And if He gives them the success, then He's going to give them the success for a reason. And the reason being obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following the way of our Salaf al-Salih. Allah has blessed us to a small degree, walhamdulillah, here at Masjid Ahl Sunnah, to have so many people from so many different walks of life and races and nationalities and countries and upbringings and what have you. We all come to the masjid, subhanallah, to establish Allah's deen. We might have our little arguments and differences, but that's not it. The overall bigger picture is that we've come together to learn Islam, to practice Islam, to call to Islam, and to be patient with whatever comes with doing that. And we see that in general, walhamdulillah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us. But it has to be understood that if Allah is going to bless you, it's because you've been obedient to Him. Then He allows things to go in your favor. As we've often mentioned, that many of the things that have taken place hasn't been from our efforts, but it's been that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the success. And we hope it was that we turn to Allah in obedience, and not that Allah is setting us up because we're tied up into the dunya and all we're worried about is this world. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wants to set a people up, then He opens the dunya up for them. And He makes this world fair seeming, and He makes it easily obtainable to them. So that when they're getting all of this dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala snatches the carpet up from under them all of a sudden, and they don't realize it until the punishment overcomes them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. We hope that that's not our case, and our case is trying to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we ask Allah to increase us in being obedient to Him, and as a result to increase us in His favor and His success upon us. But this is the way you earn the success of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not simply because you have numbers or nationalities or languages. It's not that that's what's earning the success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's the obedience to Him and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm trying to emphasize this point because at times we've seen where people come to the masjid. So you think just because people come to the masjid and we're all together that we're all together. We're not all together. Why we're not all together? Because some people, they don't want to handle their responsibility. Just like when you get married. Some people are getting married sincerely, to be married and to be happy with their mate, to handle their responsibility and to have children and to continue humanity and to be fruitful and to make the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the biggest Ummah yawm al-qiyamah and what have you. But other people there, they don't want the responsibility of marriage. I want to have a good time, for a time. Girl looking good, my rap is strong, Wali is a sucker, you know what I'm saying?
I'm about to come off, have a good time. So he makes his move and he has it. But the real meat of the issue of the responsibility, which is going to be needed to have a good marriage, he doesn't want that. So if the people who were involved knew it from the beginning, they wouldn't want to marry him. If the girl knew he wasn't going to have those responsibilities, would she want to marry him? You know, sister, man, you look so good. I'm just going, you know what I'm saying? But after that, I'm going to be finished with you. And tell the father, for real, I just know how to talk to you, man. I ain't about going to work, earning a living, handling my responsibility, man. I ain't with that. I ain't no good. Please marry me to your daughter. Okay, why not? The girl's going to say, what the heck of it? I might as well throw my life away. And likewise, in the issue of the Muslims uniting, sometimes we come together for amusement at the amusement park. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. No, seriously. The Muslims were at great adventures. No. They say it's a sign of unity. It's a sign of superficial unity. It's not the type that that will earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's based on disobedience to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following other than the way of a Salaf al-Salih. Those people might as well not have united, because what comes with unity won't come from that. The strength that comes with being united won't come from that. Going to great adventures. What are you going to establish for Islam and the Muslims for going to great adventures? Are we going to be feeble-minded like some of the children and say they had lectures? What kind of lecture are you listening on the roller coaster? Oh man, you heard the shaykh? Woo woo! Come on. Nah, subhanAllah. What are you going to establish for the believers when you put your money, hard-earned money, into a waste of time? And you have Muslims starving. And you have Mujahideen fighting jihad without weapons. And you're right here in your own country with no Muslim schools to send your children to. And the ones you send your children to, you aren't even really supportive of them. What was the result of being united if nothing is going to stem from it? So when the Muslims come together, they're not coming together just to say we united. Man, look at our numbers. MashaAllah, we got a big masjid. Got a lot of people. Wallahi, that doesn't earn the pleasure of Allah, but what earns the pleasure of Allah is being obedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What earns the success from Allah is obedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam. So don't think that when you want people to come to your masjid, or you see people in the masjid, that it looks like it's a good sign. It might not be. It's a good sign when everyone comes together for the purpose of worshiping Allah, for the purpose of handling the responsibility of being obedient to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. If you come together to get over on each other, if you come together to say, I was there, yeah, I was there. You weren't there? Well, everybody was there. What's going to be the result of that? People should have, could have, Allah knows best, it's better they stay where they were. Because it makes you appear to be one way, and it's something else. Like you're going to have a fight, one group against another. Your group looking strong, everybody got muscles, heavy artillery. When the fight starts, 90% of the people punks, they running. Don't think people don't run with weapons in the opposite direction? Scared to pull the trigger? Nah. Alright, when the fight was over with, you would have wished that the people who showed up with you that ran was never in there in the first place. Because at least you would have knew what type of fight it was going to be. Instead of thinking that it was going to be one type of fight, and it wound up being another. And sometimes this is the case in many of the masjids and the Islamic programs and conferences. Wallahi, you can't imagine the money that is spent on Muslim conferences in America you would have filled that we would have airports, hospitals, universities, money. You can't imagine the money. Muslims in some conferences are renting out facilities. They're paying $30,000 to rent out a facility. What type of money do you think they're bringing in to put that much out initially? Money. Who's going to put $30,000 out for the sake of all of the Muslims came? People putting out money to get back. How much money was spent at Great Adventures? They said 8,000 Muslims were there. 8,000. How much it cost to get them? $45 or something? Huh? 25? 35? 45? I don't know. How much is all of that times 8,000? And you didn't even eat yet. And you didn't even throw the ball at the bottle and knock it down or something. Win a big teddy bear. Seriously. How much money was spent? How much money Great Adventures make on the Muslims on that day? They smiling. I bet you Great Adventures will be in the masjids trying to make sure that it takes place again. You don't think they would? Why not? Wouldn't you? You're a businessman. You got a whole bunch of suckers who have better causes, and instead of supporting them, support you, you happy. All that money he probably wasn't even getting before. Some people don't go to Great Adventures. Alright, because the Muslims were there, they figured, well, this time it's going to be okay. So they went. He got all of the money he wouldn't normally get. He's going to encourage it. But for us, we don't have causes here in New Jersey for the Muslims. They say in New Jersey, 95% of the Muslim children attend public schools. And it's maybe more. That's the counted figure or something. A school couldn't have been built with the money they put at Great Adventures. School could have been built. If they paid $10 to get in, that's $80,000. Right? They spent $20 to get in, it's $160,000. They spent $40 to get in, $320,000. What a juice cost, Great Adventures? $7, $8? Nah, seriously, people was getting paid, man. Vendors had spots. What'd you think it cost to get a spot in Great Adventures? $20 like the men's lounge? They weren't paying $20 to get no spot at Great Adventures. Come on, man. You don't think that the Muslims spent $1 million in one day? Come on, man. Subhanallah. And you tell me we couldn't have established something for Islam and the Muslims with $100,000? You get those same 8,000 Muslims that were at Great Adventures to do something for Islam and the Muslims, and you couldn't. Because the fulfillment of the responsibility is not in the hearts of those Muslims, astaghfirullah. You have to want to fulfill a responsibility. We have to come together to want to handle something. And if we're not going to come together to be obedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow the way of our Salaf al-Saleh, why should we come together? So let's keep in mind as we handle our responsibility of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, to in fact call to Allah's deen, to call the people to be obedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't call the people to just get down with me on what's happening. Come to my masjid because it's it. If you do that, you might as well tell them to go to Great Adventures. Call the people to get down with Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you're down with the same thing, you'll be with him. You'll be down with each other. We don't call the people to a personal program, to an institution, a facility. You call them to the truth. And if the people come to the truth, then they will work together for the greater cause of the truth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them for that. I wanted to remind myself that Allah has favored us here, and that we should remember Allah's favor upon us, and because of it to try to be more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to earn more of His pleasure. That's as a community. And in the marriages, the same thing. Let's start going into our marriages wanting to handle the responsibility. And how often do the people go in not handling the responsibility? I only had to give her $5 for the dowry anyway. She don't want to act. She ain't going to act. She act up, she out of there. And we be sitting around encouraging stuff like that. Brothers be sitting around. Yeah? Yeah, man. I ain't with that either. She get out of place, finished. We talk and encourage that. But what's even worse than the talk is we do it more than we say about it. More than we, this is something that we do more than we say. Nah. Said the opposite of when it comes to the deen. Why do you say that which you do not do? Meaning we say we down with Islam, but we don't live up to it. But when it comes to what's wrong, we live up to it and more. We talk about not handling responsibilities and marriages, and then we go on to do more than that. As we were saying, it's amazing to have a statistic, more divorces than marriage, and you can't get divorced until you get married. More divorces than marriage, and you can't get divorced until you get married. Too much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand that things oftentimes are more than what meets the eye. As the institution, the Islamic Center of America, is more than when you come in, is more than that. If there's going to be something here, it's going to be more than a structure. It's going to be people with responsibility. I'm going to make this message for the sisters, let them pass it on. Sisters, they go to the sisters' lounge. That's twice, three times, four times the size of some masjids. And they leave it filthy, dirty. Sisters, if I'm lying, write a note and say I'm lying. And then we're going to leave it just like you left it, so you can come back and see we were speaking the truth. You left it a mess, and you came back and it was clean. When it was being clean, nobody saw that. You saw, you walk in the door, mashallah, subhanallah, look at this place. But you don't see the hours. The real thing of it is the responsibility that goes into a place. Those long hours with people cleaning, you don't see that. You trivial, petty. You see, mashallah, let me dirty up and be lazy and don't clean up and then leave. And then go brag and show somebody, look what I got. And then they say, oh, look what you have. We have to stop being like that and to start understanding it's more than what we see all the time. But it's what goes into what you see. We look back at the Sahaba. They were men like we were men. Arms, legs, muscles, beards, thobes, but they had something in them which separates them from the rest of the Muslims. You know the description of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he looks like a handsome man, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. It's not just the appearance, it's what goes in it. Anybody could get married. Sisters looking to get married, brothers looking to get married, get together, bam, you married. But what's going to go into your marriage? We have to start looking at what goes into things a lot more than just the outer picture of things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us successful. This is what I wanted to remind myself of and the believers of this evening. That things are more than what we see all the time. And that what goes into things are much more important than what we see outwardly, and Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. There was a question. السلام عليكم وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Now this is not related to the topic.
The questioner says, say you make istikhara on a certain affair, and you ask for advice in your situation, and things seem to be going well. Then in the meantime, you are noticing a weakness of your iman. For example, decrease in worship and falling into avoidable sins, being neglectful. You are noticing problems with money and other problems keep appearing. Does this mean this affair is not good for you, or do you stick with it? How do you know when to let it go? The issue of al-istikhara has been explained in quite a few classes. I'm going to advise that the questioner go through one of those classes to understand the hadith of al-istikhara and how to apply it in their lives. Okay, say you make al-istikhara on a certain affair and you ask for advice in your situation, and things seem to be going well. Istikhara is different than advice. Istikhara is different than advice. Istikhara is not that you're asking Allah for advice. Oh, Allah, advise me in this. Allah says, yeah, go ahead with that. Then you go ahead with it. It seems like it's good, then things fall apart. Do you keep sticking with it because Allah told you go ahead with it? Or do you let it go? Istikhara is not that. You're going to ask for advice, take your advice, make the best decision that you could, and then you're going to make dua to Allah to bless you in your decision if it's good for you, and to keep you away from it if it's bad for you. For example, I want to travel in 2 weeks to visit my mother. No, you have to visit your mother. Let's make something else. I hear the Muslims are going to great adventures. No, let's leave that. That's disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. You're looking to marry a particular lady.
Thank you.
Bismillah. I say you want to marry a lady. You get all of the advice. You look into the situation. You say, I think I should marry her. Set a date. Everything goes good. So you get married to her. You ask Allah if things are good. Bless me in this. Let it take place and bless me in it. You made a decision. But what you decided to do didn't take place until it takes place. And you're asking Allah, if it's good for me, allow what I've decided to do to actually take place. And Allah blesses you in it, it takes place. You marry your soulmate and you live happy ever after. Alright, the same case, you decide to marry a young lady, everything looks well. Everybody is advising you. And then, you set a date. Between that time and the date, you hear something. Guess what I heard? You heard something? I don't want to say nothing. What you talking about? You said you checked it out. Then he start asking around. You checked it out and you agreed? SubhanAllah. Then he start hearing stuff like that. Then he start finding stuff. This, that, whatever. Then he backs away. Because he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it's bad, keep me away. If that's bad for me, it's no good for me, keep it away from me. Nah. And if we're deserving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers our dua. Nah. If we're deserving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers our dua. That's the al-istakhara. Two, this is similar to a question I was asked recently, that everything is going bad in your life for you. Does that mean that Allah is punishing you? Yes and no. No. Yes and no. Everything is going bad in your life. Yes, Allah is punishing you. Because you're being disobedient to Allah and everything is going wrong. Allah tell you to do this, you do the opposite. He tell you don't do it, you do it. And then your life is a mess. More than likely Allah is punishing you. Nothing is going right in my life. Is Allah punishing me? No. Everything Allah commands you to do, you do to the best of your ability. He tells you to stay away, you stay away. You're trying to live a life of being obedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything's going haywire. Allah tests His believing servants to strengthen them, the way He did His prophets and messengers. So sometimes things going good, going bad for you might not necessarily be a punishment. It might be a test. How do you know the difference? Are you obedient to Allah as Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? Are you obedient or not? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if there were any questions or statements or issues related to the topic this evening or in general. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك والحمد لله.